Welcome to the special three-part edition of MJ All Day, and oh boy, is it special. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Lavelle Smith Jr., dancer, choreographer, and personal friend of the King of Pop. You know how I know he was MJ's personal friend? Stay tuned and find out, because Lavelle rarely speaks, but when he does, people listen, and he does not disappoint. He is truly the man behind the dance, which happens to be the title of his documentary. He talks openly and candidly about his career, Mike as a parent, and the allegations. So fasten your seatbelt and check it out. So Lavelle, I am so excited to talk to you. I just wanted to start by asking you how you got started dancing.
Well, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and here in Louisville, Kentucky, there was a place called the Youth Performing Arts School. And so I went there for high school, and they taught us jazz, ballet, modern. And it just really started from there. And then I started taking, you know, outside classes at the local ballet school, and University of Louisville had a ballet school, and it just kept going from there.
Oh, wow. So when did you make the leap from Louisville to L.A.?
Well, I really thought that I wanted to be a classical ballet dancer. That was really my goal for a long time. And I think senior year in high school, my teachers broke it down to me that there were no famous black ballet dancers. The best I could hope for would be the corps de ballet, which means backup dancer. Well, I ended up doing that anyway, but for me, that wasn't good enough. So I started really concentrating on classical jazz dance, and I moved to Chicago at 17, right after high school. Moved on scholarship, then joined a company as a dancer there in Chicago from 17 to 19, and I did that for about a year and a half, and I loved it. But then I started realizing there were other things going on in Chicago, videos, commercials, and so I started doing that too. And that's what kind of got me to L.A. I said, well, Chicago, you know, there's some nice things happening here, but where do they really do all these things? Where do they do movies? Where do they make videos? L.A. So at 19, I moved to L.A. Oh. I was working from Chicago and L.A. for about 6 months before I actually moved to L.A.
Oh,
yeah, I was doing a couple of TV specials in L.A., and then, you know, I just moved out there instead of going back and forth, Chicago to L.A., just moved to L.A.
Oh, wow, at 19.
Sorry?
I said, oh, wow, at 19. That's pretty brave.
Yeah. You know, I think when you, a lot of people don't find that what they love, you know, their passion until they're older. But I think I've known my whole life what I wanted to do. How I was going to do it, I wasn't sure, but I knew what I wanted to do, and that was be a dancer. It wasn't a big deal. All I wanted to do was be a dancer and be able to have my own apartment and pay my own bills. That was literally my goal. That was it.
Wow. So you move out to L.A. and...
Yeah. And I couldn't get an agent right away. They told me they had a lot of guys that looked like me. And looking back, I guess they had a lot of black guys. I don't know what they meant. But what happened was that there was a big audition for a Michael Jackson video. That's all they told us. They didn't tell us what it was for, the name of the song, or anything. Maybe they didn't even tell us it was Michael right away. They might have just said that it was a big artist or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, open call. I went to the open call. I think the audition was maybe 2 or 3 days long. And it was for some criminal. Oh. And I got it. And I ended up being one of the union dancers, which means, you know, you get paid a lot more money and you get to join the union, Screen Actors Guild. And yeah, the rest is kind of history. Michael said the first time he ever saw me dance during that job, he knew he wanted me to be on the Bad Tour. And people, you know, your whole life, people say things like that to you. Oh, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. But he said it and meant it, and it actually happened.
So that first time when you danced for him, he literally said to you, I want you to come on tour with me.
No, he said that. He told me that later.
Oh, okay.
Years later. Maybe on another tour. Maybe the Dangerous Tour. He told me that. But he said he knew then on that job that he wanted me and Eddie Garcia to be two of his dancers, two of the four dancers on his Bad Tour. But he didn't share it till later. Years later.
Oh, that's a huge compliment. So, So as you're going through the process of, you know, being chosen to be one of the dancers, how was that process?
For me, I've never been starstruck, so it was another job. It was going to allow me to have, you know, pay my own bills, like I said, and have my own apartment and that kind of thing. So it's really just a job to me. And like any job, you want to do your best, no matter what it is, no matter how big or small the job is. You want to always do your best. So that's just kind of where my head was.
Oh, wow. Okay. So once you were selected and you did the job, it was just kind of, you know, not a big deal at that time, or was it?
It was a huge deal. It was a huge deal, don't get me wrong. But when I saw the video, I mean, you know, if you don't know me, you would never know it was me. Mm-hmm. But I guess that wasn't the point. The experience taught me so much. Just being around that atmosphere, it just reminded me of what I thought an old Hollywood musical would be like. Tons of dancers, you know, a beautiful set, mm-hmm. great lighting, and talented people. So it was just a great experience all around for me. That was just what I took away from it. I didn't really think anything else would happen, you know, as far as working with him again after that. But then I got that call that he, you know, wanted me to audition, and the audition was done by video. Just send the tape to this address of you dancing to whatever you want to dance to, any way you want to dance. Tape it and mail it to this address, and that's what I did.
Oh, wow. So this was for another project he was doing.
This was for the Bad Tours. This was actually for the Bad Tours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you did that?
Then they had us come in live, and someone put us on tape. Just a videographer and, you know, me, and you dance and you go away, and that was it. And then I don't know how long between doing the last audition for Bad Tour and actually hearing. It might not have been that long. I don't really remember, but you get the call. It's like, yeah, you know, you really just can't really believe it.
I know.
I think the bigness of it doesn't really hit you until, you know, that first rehearsal. Then you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Start breaking down exactly what a rock and roll tour is like, and, you know, where what the countries you're going to go to, and, you know, you're going to all these fittings for Thriller mask and clothes, and yeah, it kind of started to sink in then.
Oh my goodness. And how long is that, or was that tour? Is that, because most tours are like almost a year.
18 months, I think. 18 months.
Okay, so 2 years.
Yeah, we did America. We did some countries a couple times. I think Australia and Japan we did a couple times, and we're there for maybe 6 to 8 weeks sometimes in the big countries. And then Europe, I think maybe we did twice. We did America back then. So my family got to see me, gosh, 5 or 6 times. We came to my hometown, Kentucky, which was kind of awesome. So I got to have 52 guests. My family members and friends come to see me perform. And he had taken it off the schedule, you know. And then when I saw he had taken it off, I said, oh, wow, we're not going to my hometown anymore. And next thing you know, he had put it back on.
Oh, that was so nice.
That's the kind of guy Michael was. Yeah, and then I was prepared to pay for 52 tickets. You know, tickets are not cheap.
No, I'm like, when you said that, my mouth dropped. Like, 52? I was trying to get one.
I had my little checkbook out and everything. They're like, oh, no. Michael said, don't worry about it. It's okay. And that was just amazing. But, yeah, that was in Louisville, Kentucky. My family and friends got to see me perform with Michael. They got pictures and everything. But I think the biggest part of that story I remember is that I didn't have to pay for all.
I know. I'm like, 52. Yeah. I'm trying to get one. What?
Yeah, it was awesome. Pretty awesome.
That is awesome. So it seems like during the time when you were dancing as a dancer, you had more actual contact with him.
Yeah, Michael actually taught us the Bad Tour. The Bad Tour was a reconstruction and an adding of songs of the Victory Tour, actually. So he actually taught us every step.
Oh, wow. So he choreographed himself almost for that tour.
He was a choreographer. There was no doubt about it. He taught us that. He taught us everything and the old stuff. And we had done Smooth Criminal by that time. And the way that we feel, we didn't shoot until the night before we were leaving to start the tour. But all the new stuff, all the old stuff, rather, he taught us. And great teacher, very patient, very patient. But it's great to see somebody who knows the steps teach you the steps, because you just see all the little nuances and all the little things, and he's not afraid to do it again and again and again, and just give you feedback and give you corrections. That was an honor, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't think about those things 2 years later, but yeah.
Wow, that's huge. Okay, so first of all, I heard that he's like a prankster. Did you get to see any of that during that time, or was that later?
Those kind of things mostly happened at Neverland. But, but yeah, Michael liked to have fun. I think going to Neverland was a place where even I just kind of got lost being there. You know, you're working, but you're still surrounded by lots of fun things to do. So when you're not working, you'll go ride some rides. You'll go see a movie. You know, you'll play on the trampoline or, you know, get in the pool. It's just a place that you don't want to leave. And I love that. You wake up to, or you open your door, and you hear, you know, music playing.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
It's just, yeah, music coming out of rocks. And, you know, it was just the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. But it's a place you don't want to leave.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and the beautiful thing, I think he said, but you don't have to. And I think, in a way, he really meant that. But, of course, I need to go teach the dances, whatever I had worked on with him. But, you know, just those kind of phrases and things like that are the things I think I remember about him the most. Just the kindness, you know, just a simple kindness. Not a, you know, nothing fake about it. Authenticity, you know, to the line. Just very kind and very open and very honest.
So
it brings that out of you too, you know. That's what you find when you work with people like that. It brings that out of you. It brings out the hard work. It brings out, you know, the honesty and just the fun of doing something that you love. And I think he always tried to emphasize that. You know, we're very blessed. He would say that, and we are, you know, we're very blessed. We have talent and we get to do it. We get to use it. And so, you know, being around him, I think I learned not just how to be on stage, how to perform on stage or in front of a camera, but just the way to treat your fellow man. Just simple things you can do. Kind is free. Being nice is free.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like
people will try to take that for weakness, but you can spot that a mile away. So that's not a problem. But being kind is free. So why not?
It seemed like he fostered that kind of environment where, you know, being kind was king around him.
Yeah, I think honesty, too, more than anything else, just being honest. You know, Lavelle, do you like this? Nope. You know, and I think some things that would come out of my mouth would, you know, other people would be like, well, I can't believe you said that. And I'm like, why not? It's the truth. You know, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you. But I think truth was big.
Yeah, because I would think a lot of people didn't tell him no. They just liked everything.
No matter what you do in life, there's going to be yes men.
Right.
You know, they're everywhere. But I think people like that don't need yes men. They need, you know, people going to tell them the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So how did you go from dancer to now you're the choreographer?
It was the Dangerous Tour. We had a choreographer, and the opening number was going to be Jam. And I think it was from, you know, his new album is going to be really, really an important way to open a show. And he wasn't satisfied with what the choreographer he had was giving him. And he said, get Lavelle in here. And it was as simple as, Lavelle, what would you do? And on the spot, I went, he's like, yes, that's what I want. So he kicked everybody else out. We spent about 20 minutes, half hour together, and came up with Jam, the military section.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was that simple. I wish I had a really elaborate beautiful story. It was that simple. What would you do, Lavelle? This is what I would do. That's what I want. Everybody else go. Thank you. And we did it in about 20 minutes, half hour. I mean, jam, the actual first jam, of course, evolved into something, you know, bigger. Mm-hmm. But the beginning was, yeah, for the Dangerous Tour, the first leg of the Dangerous Tour, that jam was the original. We loved it.
Wow. But it, you know, I think it's beauty in that simplicity that, like, yeah, I know so I too. See your talent. I know that I you so could too. Do it. And so now it's your time to do it.
Right. And it was kind of the same thing for Dangerous. I mean, he was going to do a performance on the American Music Awards, mm-hmm. and we were in Japan around Christmas time, and mm-hmm. I got a phone call in my room saying, Michael wants to talk to you. I said, okay. Then I thought, well, gosh, what have I done? You know, you go down the list. Of but it wasn't anything like that. He said, I want to give you your first big chance. I'm doing Dangerous for the American Music Awards, and I want you to choreograph it. And I mean, yeah, time froze, and right. I thought, oh, my gosh, this is huge. And my mind started going from the minute he said that until we got back to America and I went to Neverland and started putting it together with him. But that's something, you know, simplicity, because, you know, if somebody gives you your first big chance, you're going to pull out all the stops. I mean, all of these crazy ideas I had. And he said, okay, you know, let's just think simple. Let's mm-hmm. think simple. You know, mm-hmm. simple is good. And he just kind of talked me through it. I mean, it's like just creating something with someone like him who can do anything and will try anything mm-hmm. was a gift. You know, that was a gift by itself.
Right.
His openness to just to try new things. And he let me open up the music, stop the music. There were no limits. And that's what he always said, you know, we can do anything we want. Money's not a problem. You can work, you know, do whatever you want to the music. And that's just kind of the way we always worked. I knew I had no limits.
Oh, wow. So you could just, that allows you creatively.
Yeah, so your mind can just be pretty free.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
But at the same time, you have to remember that bigger is not always better. Sometimes the simplest things are the go-to moments. So, yeah, but still, taking the chains off of your creativity, there's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like it.
Right. And so it seems like it kind of turned into like a mentor-mentee situation. Because you're saying, he's like, okay, now you're ready this is what it sounds like to me. Now you're ready to you know, be the choreographer, and you are. And he's still kind of saying, okay, yeah, we can go big, but what about the simple stuff? What about, you know?
It's always that. You know, it's always a collaboration. You know, mm-hmm. People get caught up on, you know, oh, you taught me good. Yes, I did. But it's with someone like that, you don't just go in there and say, there are artists that you do that with, and I think that's great too, where you go say, well, this is what we're going to do, boom, 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 and that's great, and they're cool with it. Well, people like Michael, it's a collaboration. It is, it's a collaboration the whole way through.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, which is brilliant. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to write a book now, and of course, I've outlined chapters. But, you know, just trying to find ways to express these things, it's kind of hard on paper. I've never written a book before, so I keep vacillating between book or really cool documentary mm-hmm. and pieces. Don't know yet. But there's so many things he taught me that I think people need to know. I mean, he had ways of working that changed the way I perceive the way I work and the way I view things as far as entertainment and the human body. I mean, his fascination with the human body being something that doesn't always have to follow a specific narrative. You can twist and turn your body into anything you want. Mm-hmm. And since dancers don't really get to speak with their voices very often, the best way of expressing yourself as a dancer is to speak with your body. Mm-hmm. And I think little things like that are things that I want dancers coming up now and choreographers who are doing it now to really hear. And because I didn't think about being a choreographer. That wasn't my goal. I didn't even know I could do it. That's something he showed me I could do.
Right.
Because it's not a natural, an automatic thing just because you're a great dancer or a good dancer that you're going to be a good choreographer or that you're going to be a good director if you're a good choreographer. These things are not always linear. Mm-hmm. You might be good. You might be an awful dancer who's a great director or an average, I shouldn't say awful, but you know what I mean, an average dancer that's a great director or a great choreographer. So it just happened, and that's something he brought out of me and helped me understand for myself too. So anyway, I can share that with, you know, young mm-hmm. dancers or young choreographers or choreographers of any age, really. I want to do that, so I'm trying to figure out now the best way to do that.
Wow. He just seemed to have an eye for talent. Especially young talent.
He's been in the business, and I thought everything I think about now, I think about it, you know, because it happened a long time ago, I think about it now. And I think you're obviously right. The man has been in the business since he was a kid. I think
right.
He's seen a lot of people, a lot of singers, a lot of dancers. And, of course, Michael was one of the people who loved to study the greats. So if he liked an artist, a dancer mm-hmm. or a singer, he would study them. You know, when he was young, they didn't have video, you know, like mm-hmm. when we were coming up. There was no video or DVDs or YouTube. He would have to get reel-to-reels and sit there, I guess, in his home theater and just watch it again and again and again and study them. And that's what he did.
Yeah, that's the same thing that when I interviewed Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers, that's the same thing he said. He said that he would, for hours, like that people didn't know that for hours he would study and watch these videos over and over and over again.
I did it with him. You know, it was, yeah, you study and you learn and you are inspired by things. And I love that. I still do it to this day. I'll watch a ballet in a minute or an old musical in a heartbeat just mm-hmm. because there's always something to learn.
If you think this episode was interesting, just wait until part two, where Lavelle talks MJ and fatherhood. Did Michael's kids know their lives were special? What kind of parent was the king of pop? What kind of friend was the king of pop? Join us for the next episode. But in the meantime, if you want something to watch, check out Lavelle's documentary, Man Behind the Dance, at manbehindthedance.com. See you next time. MJAllDay.thePodcast on Facebook and MJAllDay-thePodcast on Twitter. You can also email me at dthevip@gmail.com. That's dthevip@gmail.com, and tell me all of your MJ stories.
Beneath the Eiffel Tower, in Ghana's Black Star Square, in Johannesburg and in Pittsburgh, in Birmingham, Alabama, and Birmingham, England, we are missing Michael, but we do know that we had him. And we are the world.